This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Rice would be put in the chief of staff position. We're also hearing that Steve Bannon is going to hold a senior position within the White House staff there, probably as a senior counselor to the president. These are two people who Donald Trump is very, very fond of. I hearken back to election night in the wee hours of the morning. It must have been 3 o'clock in the morning or so when Donald Trump came out on that stage and he singled out Reince Priebus in the crowd, asked him to come up on stage and say a few words. It was a measure of his fondness for him. If you hearken back to what Reince Priebus was facing in the early stages of this campaign, there was tremendous opposition to Donald Trump across the establishment board of Republicanism in Washington. There was a view that Donald Trump could not win this election. Yet Reince Priebus stuck by him. He did what he had to do as chairman of the RNC and supported the candidate, providing him all kinds of advice, all kinds of data, which ultimately led to Donald Trump winning this election. And then Steve Bannon, on the other hand, also, we saw very little of him during the campaign. He was always behind the scenes, kept a very, very low profile. It was Kellyanne Conway who was out there in front of the TV cameras. But Kellyanne Conway told Chris Wallace just this morning that Steve Bannon was the general of this campaign. He orchestrated the campaign in that sense. The guy has vast experience, and as much as he is portrayed as I've said, the flamethrower of the alt-right movement, he has vast experience both as a commander in the U.S. Navy. That's a wonderful thing to be doing when you're working at the White House and facing all kinds of incoming fire. He was also an executive at Goldman Sachs. He was a successful Hollywood movie producer, and of course, he's a successful publisher of the Breitbart website right now. So he's got vast experience. Two of these guys are going to be major players in the Trump administration.
You know, Doug, you have two distinct separate personalities when you deal between Priebus and Bannon. But the Tea Party patriots and some conservatives are really against Reince Priebus. I mean, they would look at him and say, well, he's the typical, insider. He served three terms as the chairman of the Republican National Committee, was chairman of the Wisconsin Republican Party. You know, and some of them, you think they'll be disappointed, or you think they'll say, look, Donald Trump, who spent his life in the building behind you, is going to really need some veteran Washington hands who know how to pull the lever of power and know where the bathrooms are and the closets are in the Capitol to get things done.
Right. And there's Reince Priebus for you right there. The guy has really sound judgment. He kept his composure throughout all the firing of ammo at Donald Trump throughout the summertime. He kept his wits about him and supported Donald Trump. You also have a little bit of this component of good cop, bad cop. You have Reince Priebus on the one hand, and you have Steve Bannon on the other hand, who is an outsider and who, according to some reports, is not fond of many establishment Republicans, including Paul Ryan. So, ultimately, the decision-making in this administration comes from the head guy, Donald Trump. He's got to hear that advice, and it sounds like, from the way he's set things up now, he's going to hear both sides of it, from Reince Priebus and from Steve Bannon.
Yeah, and, you know, Doug, of course, everybody's watching this transition very closely. You've got Donald Trump supporters who made a very strong outcry for newness, if you will, in D.C. How do you think this is going to resonate with them, that Reince Priebus is more, as we've been pointing out, he's more of the establishment?
Well, you've got players from both perspectives in this. If you look at the entire transition team, you see the dynamic at work here. This is sort of, perhaps in some respects, a blueprint of how the administration will be stacked up. You've got, as the chairman of the transition committee, the vice president-elect Mike Pence, who, as I described earlier, has a reputation as a social conservative. He's a very soft-spoken man, always keeps his wits about him. He has a lot of inside Washington connections by virtue of the fact that he was a congressman from Indiana. He also has that outside perspective now. He is the governor of the state of Indiana. And then you look below that, and in addition to those major players, you have some really key personnel who have nothing to do with politics until this campaign got underway, and that's the Trump family. Eric Trump, Donald Jr., Ivanka, and then his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. These people are going to be playing major roles, and they're the kinds of people who are going to be weighing the perspective, weighing the advice from guys like Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon and many, many others, filtering it out and giving it to their father and to their loved one. That's where the real honest advice comes from as well. well.
Yeah, you obviously, and any of the chief executive generally would say you always need someone there who is not just a yes man. It seems like Reince Priebus will not be.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. It's 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It's right there for you. And you want to get involved in the conversation, especially this one that we're going to have this morning. In fact, I posted over the weekend, you know, what your thoughts were about, you know, the about the election, the consequences, and did it have any effect whatsoever on your choice, particularly the Second Amendment vote. Our expert here is a Second Amendment expert. Dr. John Lott is with us. He has written a new book. We're going to be talking about that. He has been referred by Newsweek as the gun crowd's guru, author, lecturer, and nationally famous economist. Dr. Lott, always good to have you with us. Are we connected here?
Yeah, no, great.
Okay, excellent.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, always good to talk to you. No doubt, and this is what I was hearing over and over again from people, whether it was on my Facebook or in my walk as I was telling them that we were going to be talking with you and about your new book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control. And I just asked them, I said, you know, did this have an effect? They said, without a doubt. And this was something I believe that was greatly undermeasured between the two candidates. What do you think?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's hard to think of an election where more was at stake in terms of not only people's ability to go and defend themselves, but the other parts of the Bill of Rights. I'll just give you one simple example beyond gun ownership, and that is the Citizens United case. That in all four of the debates, either Hillary Clinton or Tim Kaine said that they wanted to overturn. With the Citizens United case involved was a movie that came out in 2008 called Hillary the Movie. The argument was that political appointees in the government should be able to determine whether a movie is political and be able to go and ban it during election years so that you can't get around the campaign finance rules, so that you're only limited to go and directly donate a certain amount to a candidate, and movie companies or book publishers could go and publish or put out movies that would help a particular candidate. And so we would be living in a world where government could ban movies or books during election years. I mean, if somebody had asked me 20 years ago whether an issue would be like that seriously considered, I'm not sure I would have believed them.
Yeah, it's amazing how they cut and slice this. I mean, would the election even be, you know, in their thinking, would the election period even cover, you know, the post 70 days when the new team is transitioning? For example, lots of expression right now anti-Trump. That, you know, some of it is to say, okay, well, they're getting it out of their system. But, as some philosophers and others that, consider the culture would say that this stinking thinking is not in our best interest. And if our desire is to move the country forward.
Right. Well, I'm sure they're going to be battling the results of this election for a while, in part because so much was at stake. You know, you take the Second Amendment. Hillary Clinton has said many times that she thought that the Heller decision was wrongly decided. And the Heller decision dealt with only one issue, and that is whether the government could ban ownership of guns, either guns ownership completely or an entire category of guns, such as all handguns. Washington, D.C., what had happened was it was a crime to actually own a handgun. And you, while you could own a long gun like a rifle or a shotgun, if you actually even just put a bullet in the chamber of the gun, not firing it, but literally just putting a bullet in the chamber of either a rifle or a shotgun shell and a shotgun, that was a felony punished by 5 years in prison. And so the Supreme Court had said, for all practical purposes, law-abiding citizens were prevented in any way from using a gun to defend themselves or their families. The Supreme Court said that went too far. So if she overturned that decision by literally just having to appoint one person to the Supreme Court, because the court right now is evenly divided 4-4 on whether their people have an individual right to self-defense. You'd be able to overturn that decision and make it again possible for governments around the country to go and ban guns. I'll give you one simple example of this, and that is California has safety and micro-stamping regulations on handguns.
Exactly,
but
right.
2001, over 1,250 models of handguns have been banned for sale in the state. There's literally only 12 models of handguns that can still be sold in California. And within, and those have been grandfathered in, but within about 3 years or so, those guns will also likely be banned. And so if the Heller decision is overturned, then it would be possible for the state of California to completely ban handguns through these so-called safety regulations. I mean, the safety regulations that they have are absurd. They're things like, can you drop a handgun 60 feet onto concrete and not have the gun be damaged?
Right.
And, you know, it's so people could go and use the fig leaf of so-called safety or micro-stamping regulations to go and make it so that no handguns could be sold in the state of California. And if the Heller decision was reversed, it would be possible for them to completely ban handgun ownership.
Exactly. Well, and the thing is, California, of course, part of the latest episode is they want to secede from the union, and some would say, fine, you know, because the trajectory you guys are on is so anti-constitutional. I mean, you've already chased businesses away, and, you know, even regular citizens are moving out of California faster than they're moving in. But it's this kind of stuff. You mentioned, John, micro-stamping. Some people still aren't up to speed on what that means. Explain to them what micro-stamping is and why this movement, not only in California, but in other parts of the country, to think this is as a viable solution.
Right. Well, in theory, you could put a little stamp at the end of the firing pin that's used to strike the bullet to cause it to explode that would go and be a unique identifier, a particular number that would be on each different firing pin. There are lots of problems with it. One is they haven't figured out how to make the coating small enough that it would, and so that when it actually hit the bullet, it would leave the identifying mark on it so that it could be read. So that's a technical problem that nobody's figured out. The people in California just figured, well, we'll pass a law on the gun maker.
Then we'll make it work later on, exactly, at an incredible expense. Our conversation with Dr. John Lott continues, author of the brand-new book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. I appreciate you responding to the Facebook question. John writes, when I asked what influenced your vote, did gun control, and he says, what didn't influence my vote? He says, gun control, religious freedom, secure borders, country first, economy, Supreme Court, on and on.
and on. And I also liked his additional comment talking about getting someone to sponsor a bill similar to Truth in Advertising, but for politics and media. I say, here, here, John, wouldn't that be nice if we were legitimately dealing with the truth here in this country? Imagine what that would do and how better off we would all be in dealing with truth in politics. What a concept.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Winter has just begun, and are you already tired of being cold? How would you like to never be cold again? This is Dale with Fortress Clothing, and I'm here to tell you, you will never be cold again with Fortress. If you're tired of freezing your butt off, elk hunting, sitting in a tree stand, deer hunting, winter camping, fishing, ice fishing, no longer fear the cold. If you snowmobile, ski, snowboard, get Fortress. Sledding with the kids, shoveling the walks, shopping, or if you or your spouse get cold feet at home, get Fortress. If you're stuck outside working in the cold or find yourself in an emergency situation, get our winter bug out bag and you will never be cold again. Fortress is the answer, so quit complaining and go to fortressclothing.com. It's a mid-layer garment that goes with anything you want to wear. Enter coupon code radio and get 20% off any item. Go now while we still have inventory. FortressClothing.com.
Why be held hostage by your wireless carrier for 2 years? What if you had no contract, no activation fees, no hidden costs, tracking, tracing, harvesting customer data, or draconian gimmicks? All on America's largest 4G LTE, GSM, and Sprint networks. Introducing Pix Wireless. Activate your Sprint, AT&T, or unlock GSM phones with Pix and choose from an arsenal of monthly plans or build your own. Starting at only $2.99 per month. Get connected now. Call or click 1-866-205-9513 or PixWireless.com, spelled PIXWireless.com. Pick Pix and get connected today.
From the pages of the Bible comes a terrifying account of an ancient beast that was half man, half demon. It is returned in a best-selling novel, Nephilim, by L.A. Marzulli. Indiegogo presents you with an opportunity to get involved in making this supernatural novel into a major motion picture. Join journalist Mac McKenzie as he travels halfway around the world to uncover the truth about aliens and demons. Join our Indiegogo campaign to get Nephilim made into a movie. Go to Indiegogo.com, hashtag Nephilim.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Bill Martinez live.
I can't hide, no, I can't keep quiet. It's like my heart's on fire, and I can't get over it, can't get control.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
plus affiliates we have. Thank you for joining in. Don't forget, you can go to Facebook and go to my Facebook, Martinez Live, and get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. And if you've got a question here for Dr. John Lott, by all means, we'll pick up on it and get you involved directly in the conversation. He is the author of the book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. Dr. Lott, Chicago, we know, has some of the strictest gun restrictions in the U.S., but Chicago's murder rate soars 72% in 2016, and shootings are up more than 88%. Obviously, for all the hoopla and all that's being done, it's just not working there, is it?
I mean, Chicago's a somewhat complicated case in the sense that politicians there have really mucked up the police department. You know, I'll just give you a simple example. Nationwide, the arrest rate for murders is about 64%. In Chicago, when Mayor Emanuel became mayor, it was 34%. And in the most recent year that we have data for, it had fallen down to 24%. So less than a quarter of murders in Chicago resulted in an arrest. Mm-hmm. And there's simple reasons for that. One of the big reasons is that when he became mayor, he moved detective bureaus out of the couple highest crime rate parts of the city and moved them to the low crime rate areas. He had made promises to people. If anybody who knows anything about policing knows that you want to put the police where the crimes are.
Exactly.
If you go and put the detective bureaus, which could be 45 minutes or an hour away, farther from the crimes, it makes it much more difficult for them to go and solve the crimes in those areas. He also initially cut the police department, and he ended many of the gang units in the city. So it's not too surprising that you have a lot worse drug gang problem in the city after his changes than he had before. And so, you know, the gun control laws that they have there, it costs $450 or so to get a concealed handgun permit in Illinois. Mm-hmm. In neighboring Indiana, you can get a permit for about $47. That's a big difference. And the problem is that when you make it that expensive, the very people that you price out of being able to go and get a permit, poor minorities who live in places like Chicago, high crime rate areas, they're the ones who are prevented from being able to go and get a gun. And yet my research, if anybody reads The War on Guns or reads my other books, would know that those are the very people who benefit the most from owning guns.
Well, you know, it would seem, John, that the empirical evidence smacks in the face of all this presumption that, you know, but they're going to stick to their guns, I guess, so to speak, their ideology, no matter what. But this is the classic definition of insanity, isn't it?
Right. Well, you know, I think in places like Chicago, they don't want to take responsibility for their own actions, for the changes that I just mentioned that the mayor had made in the police department. And so they want to have some scapegoat to go and blame. And so gun control, you know, always, we only took guns away from people, it would solve the problem. But they ignore is after they had the handgun ban in Chicago in 1982. They had a big increase in murder rates. Murder rates have been falling for a decade prior to the ban. And as soon as they put the ban in there, they stopped falling and started to rise. And you saw a similar thing in Washington, D.C., when they had their gun control laws in 1977. One chapter that I have in the War on Guns shows that every place in the world, not just Washington, D.C. and Chicago, that has banned guns, either all guns or all handguns, has seen an increase in murder rates, often very large increases in murder rates after the bans have gone into effect. And there's a simple reason for that, and that is when you go and ban guns, it's the most law-abiding good citizens who turn in their guns, not the criminals. And to
exactly.
The extent that you disarm law-abiding citizens relative to criminals, you actually make it easier for criminals to go and ban guns. Look, the government has spent huge amounts of time trying to ban illegal drugs. We know how difficult it's been for them to do that. What is not appreciated by many people is how much violent crime in the United States is gang and drug gang related. And the notion that somehow you're going to find it any easier to take those gangs guns away than it was to take away the drugs that they have just isn't very serious. I mean, if I click my fingers right now and could cause all illegal drugs to disappear from the United States and all guns, how long do you think it'd be before illegal drugs started coming back in the United States?
Yeah, at the next click of your fingers.
That's right.
That's how fast it is.
And the thing that you have to understand is that these gangs, if somebody steals a gang's drugs, it's not like the gang can go to the police and say, look, this other gang stole our drugs. Can you help us get them back? The gangs have to set up their own militaries in order to protect that valuable property. And they're going to bring in the guns at the same time that they bring in the illegal drugs in order to protect those drugs.
Exactly. Yeah, this is the thing. Now, John, is this a characteristic? I mean, what seems to be the characteristic? And I know it's hard sometimes, especially when we just came off a very contentious election. We got Democrats versus Republicans. But the fact is that most of these problems seem to be happening more frequently and more dramatically in states or cities that are controlled by Democrats. Isn't that so?
Yeah, no, I think that's true for a number of reasons. But I mean, I think a lot of the government policies that we have led to the breakdown of family in different areas. Mm-hmm. I think restrictions that you have on police, whether you think police are there to solve the problem or they're part of the problem, has impacts on crime rates in different areas. I think all those things work together. And the fact that whether people trust individuals is kind of the last line of defense when the police aren't there. Anybody who's read any of my books knows that I think police are extremely important in stopping crime, probably the single most important factor. But what's often not appreciated is that the police strongly support private ownership of guns.
Yes.
There's probably no other group in the country that supports private ownership of guns as much as police do.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it for a simple reason. They know they're important, but they also know that they virtually always arrive on the crime scene after the crimes occur. And the question is, what should people do when they're having to confront the criminal by themselves? And the police know in their own life and their own jobs how important gun ownership is to protect themselves and others. And so they appreciate that for private ownership of guns. And I'll tell you one other thing, and that is private ownership of guns makes their job safer. One example, look at terrorist attacks or mass public shootings. If you put a police officer to go and guard a place, they have an almost impossible job. Putting a person in uniform is like putting a neon sign over them saying, shoot me first.
Right.
I mean, you look at any of the attacks in the United States where police have been there or abroad, like the Charlie Hebdo attack last year in France.
Right.
The first person killed was the police officer who was in front of the magazine offices there in order to guard it. And that just happens time after time. They have an almost impossible task. The thing is, if you had civilians who had permanent concealed handguns, that makes it much safer for the officer because
they're on the team of the good guys. John, we got less than a minute left, but I wanted to give you a real quick chance to just summarize the Bloomberg effect and the investment, on this battle, for gun control and his participation here. Real quick, we got about 30 seconds. I'm sorry, but go ahead.
Sure. I mean, there wouldn't be much of a gun control debate if it wasn't for Bloomberg. Just through October, he had spent something like $65 million, $20 million in Nevada, which came to like $35.30 per vote to push his background checks on private transfers. And he only won by 0.8 percentage points because people, despite that huge amount of money, were beginning to understand that these laws just are a mess and they primarily disarm good citizens.
Exactly. Well, to be continued, and we need to have you back regarding the myth of the background checks and bring out the facts clearly on it. Dr. John Lott, thank you.
At Bunko Night, a little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-957-9652. Call in the next 10 minutes and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-957-9652. That's 1-800-957-9652. 1-800-957-9652.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-519-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-519-BACK now to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-519-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com. I don't need my name in life. I'm famous in my father's eyes. Make no mistake, he knows my name. I'm not living for applause. I'm already so adored. It's all his stage. He knows my name. Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, just the way you like me, fresh every day, ladies and gentlemen, for 3 hours, coming at you 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Get involved in the conversation. Let us know your thoughts. You can tweet me at B Martinez Live, at B as in Bill, Martinez Live, and especially with our next guest, Israel Ortega, is back with us. Israel is a writer for the conservative political news site Opportunity Lives. He has years of experience working in both the public and private sector, possessing a thorough understanding of a variety of public policy issues, including, but not limited to, immigration, education, political analysis, and Latin America. It is always good to have you with us. How you doing?
Hey, thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Hey, great time here. I got to tell you, in light of this election, as you and I had discussed before and had forecast, they were mismeasuring the Hispanic vote. They wanted to look at it monolithically. They wanted to look at it through this, I believe, misinterpreted and misreported statement that Donald Trump had made about immigration, particularly with Mexico. But, you know, in your conversations, I know, with fellow Hispanics, mine as well, you know, people are saying, hey, look, there's a real issue here, and it's not being addressed by the Democrats, though Trump admittedly may be addressing it a bit indelicately. It is a rather indelicate problem, because we're living with it, and it's not fair.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. No, and I think that's one of the big takeaways after this election, Bill, is that I think liberals need to understand that, you know, at the end of the day, Hispanics and other minority groups are you know, they care about a lot of issues that all Americans care about, and you know, the economy certainly was one of those issues that came up, and I think that's for Democrats, it's a day of reckoning, because so much of what they put forward is on this, like, racial identity politics, and here, you know, we see that you know, Donald Trump actually got 29% of the vote, which is slightly more than what Mitt Romney got 4 years ago, which for many is pretty surprising.
Right. Well, and of course, repeatedly, the media would say he's not even going to get close. He hasn't broken the ceiling. This is going to be a runaway election. I mean, even up to, you know, as the votes were being counted and being processed early in the day, it was a projected sweep for Hillary Clinton.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's been the conversation that I've heard and I've had with friends who, you know, work for the other side, who said that they just did not, they were expecting a party and a celebration. And then, it turns out that it was terrible all around, you know, Bill, I mean, Republicans hung on to the Senate, which is very important. The House, of course, still in Republican control. So, you know, we really haven't seen something like this in Washington, in quite some time. As you remember, after Obama won the first, in the 2008 election, Democrats controlled the House as well. And so this is, you know, all of the different branches of the government are now in Republican hands. So we'll see what Republicans do and if they capitalize on this opportunity.
Well, I think that's what a lot of voters are saying to Donald Trump and the rest of the Republicans is, don't screw this up, right?
Right. Yeah, and I think one of the things will be on Obamacare, Bill. I think that will be one of the promises Republicans made. Donald Trump made this on the campaign trail. And when you look at the premiums increasing for a lot of folks, you see why Republicans are moving very aggressively to repeal this law.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and they got nervous. I mean, even Chris Wallace, and I was surprised with him because there was no quarter given in terms of Trump's, it's so funny. The media on one hand wants to beat Trump up because he's so harsh. He isn't fair-minded and he doesn't want to be inclusive. Then he comes back after a meeting, which seemed to be, for all intents and purposes, visually, was a congenial meeting between he and Barack Obama. For all the bitterness and the word slinging that had gone on during the election process, they seem to be okay. I mean, it wasn't like they were singing all 56 verses of Kumbaya, admittedly. But I think what came out of it was that, you know, Trump started realizing, gosh, you know, here's the president of the United States. Here's his signature legacy. Is there a way to, you know, give him some grace, give him some, you know, some measure of respect here in trying to put together a national health care program and say, you know, if we talk about amending it, all of a sudden everybody gets crazy. Well, in a sense, if you're going to maintain some of the principal things which most people like, their children being on a family's health plan to 26, why not make it 28 or 30 if they're in college?
Right.
You know, what's the big diff, right? But you're going to amend some of those things, right? Pre-existing conditions, huge. We got to find a way to manage the pre-existing issue, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think that's what, Donald Trump was on 60 Minutes recently. This is after he was elected president. And to your point, President-elect Donald Trump said that he would keep some of the pieces of Obamacare that are popular and well-liked, like the pre-existing conditions and that the keeping kids or young adults on their parents' plan until they're 26. So, yeah, I think that there are going to be some things put in place that will remain, rather. But I do think Republicans are going to push Donald Trump to repeal most of the law. And I think that for a lot of Republicans, it's going to be great news.
Well, the big issue, certainly, I mean, there are some big problems, you know, that forced businesses to hold to that 50 employee limit, those things that are hampering business and job growth and all this, because what I anticipate is because of Donald Trump's wiring, his business wiring, he is going to unleash a productive America that has just been frustrated by having a lid on their human potential. And this is going to be an incredible, I would say this next year is going to be most phenomenal for this country in terms of GDP, employment issues. I mean, just in simple, lifting of these goofy restrictions that have hurt business.
Right. No, well, you're already seeing it, Bill. I mean, you saw that the stock market was up last week. A lot of, seems like, investors are a lot more bullish now precisely to the points you're raising about regulation, because a lot of you know what the free enterprise system needs is trying to get the government to get out of the way, and part of the problem during the Obama years has been that we've seen a growth in government. So we'll see. I'm certainly hoping that we can have a great economy next year. A lot of people are still out of work or looking for better opportunities to pay better, and so hopefully President-elect Donald Trump with Republicans and Democrats will get that done.
Well, David Stockman spelled out the problem with job creation very clearly on this show here a couple of weeks back. Is he told me, he said, Bill, he says, you know, here's the fact. America has not created one net breadwinning job since the year 2000. I mean, that is a headline.
Right. Yeah.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And it doesn't surprise me. I mean, and when you think about the tax code that we have in place that, you know, President Obama really hasn't looked at that seriously and said, look, we can actually work with Republicans to get something done to reform the tax code. And so he obviously is leaving the presidency, and now it'll be up to President-elect Trump. And I do hope that, you know, reforming the tax code is one of the great ways, I think, that you can jumpstart the economy and get both sides to work with you.
Well, I'm starting to hear Bill Clinton one more time, as he said back in the latter 90s, the era of big government is dead. He's coming back and saying, really, the era of big government is really dead.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's hope you're right. I know a lot of folks here in D.C. Are hoping that's the case.
Well, that's amazing. I'm just glad to hear that, because the sentiment is generally, you know, the majority of those in D.C. want big government. They have fared fairly well with the expansion and, you know, with the dream of big government being the answer and being everybody's daddy, right?
Right. Absolutely. And so... But that's good. If they're out of work, that means that hopefully there'll be jobs through the private sector for folks who are looking for it. So,
well, the good news for Hispanics, and you and I know this because we grew up this way, is Hispanics are not afraid of working. They look forward to supporting their families. I mean, I look for great big dreams and you know, just dramatic things to happen within Hispanic culture is just endemic to who they are. Don't you say?
Absolutely, and 30% of the Hispanic population agrees with you, Bill, and I think that I know Hispanics want to work, and hopefully we'll see that job creation that I think our country so desperately needs, particularly among the Hispanic community.
Well, Iz, we're out of time. As always, good to have you with us. Israel Ortega on Bill Martinez
Thank
Live.
You, Bill.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
It started at Bunco Night. A little tickle in my throat, says Sandra. Then comes Colin barking like a seal. That cough, that's the flu. And then it spreads to Edna, to Wiley, to Marjorie. But when it comes to your door, you won't be answering because you got your flu shot at Rite Aid, where they care about you and your health. So while they're seeing doctors and sweating through fevers, you'll be teaching your granddaughter the two-deck shuffle. Shield yourself at Rite Aid before it's too late. If you're over 65, the CDC recommends flu and pneumonia shots. No appointments necessary, and they're free with Medicare Part B. Rite Aid, with us, it's personal. Flu vaccines available while supplies last. Age restrictions apply in some states. See pharmacy for details.
This MultiView Special Report is brought to you by Kraft Heinz. When we think of fall, we think of indulging in rich and flavorful meals, sides, drinks, and desserts. But as the temperatures drop and the holidays approach, our busy calendars begin filling up, leaving us with little time to think about preparing dinner. The solution? Stovetop Stuffing Mix. Stovetop Stuffing Mix has been America's favorite stuffing for more than 40 years. If it's not Stovetop, it's not Thanksgiving. For stress-free stuffing, choose Stovetop Stuffing Mix. Each box contains everything you need, including vegetables, seasonings, herbs, spices, and breadcrumbs packed with flavor. Unlike traditional stuffing, Stovetop Stuffing Mix can be prepared on the stove, in a pot, or even in the microwave. It's perfect for sharing with the whole family. Talk about your perfect side. It's ready for the table in just 5 minutes. For more information, tips, and recipes, visit craftrecipes.com/stovetop.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com and use promo code radio to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Tonight I'm gonna speak my life. I'm the only hope that satisfies my heart. You are the one I'm running to.
Bill Martinez Live.
Hey, welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Get involved in the conversation. Your opinion counts. You can tweet me at Bill Martinez Live or go to my Facebook at MartinezLive.com and let us know your thoughts. And, of course, this next discussion with Robert Wilcox is one that, you know, comes up and it seems it really intensifies about this time of year because we will see more documentaries. There's going to be more conjecture about a president that was assassinated. I say often that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. We still seem to lack some facts. I know some of my friends, in fact, my good friend Hugh Hewitt, we were having a rather animated discussion. He goes, well, you're a conspiratist, huh? Yeah. And I go, no, I just am one that's pursuing the facts, and I don't believe that you're holding to all the facts, in my humble opinion. Our next guest, Robert Wilcox, is an author, journalist, screenwriter, editor, author of Target, Patton, and the Truth about the Shroud of Turin. He is an author, journalist, and screenwriter who's written extensively on military subjects. And his latest book is Target, JFK, the Spy Who Killed Kennedy. Robert Wilcox, good to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Hey, thanks, Bill. I'm doing fine.
What a topic, huh? I mean, that we still continue this. I mean, with all the, you know, we talk about the Shroud of Turin, we could talk about the Shroud of JFK from that matter, because so much of seemingly what happened on that day in November in Dallas, Texas, remains undercover.
Yeah, it sure does. And, you know, we're 55 years or so away from this, and nobody's really figured it out. This is never before reported material about a bigger than life spy, René A. Dussac, my book is about. And he could be a key figure in all of this and perhaps helping to solve this long mystery. It's based on secret diaries and of a Cold War spy, an assassin, Douglas Bezzata, who I got these diaries for the earlier book, Target Patton, and they tell an amazing story that says that Dussac was really the guy who conceived of the plot. Mm-hmm. And who brought it forward, and then was at Dallas and engineered this. And Dussac is an amazing story in himself. You've heard that the most interesting man in the world.
It's funny you should mention that, because that's exactly when I first started reading about this. I go, next thing I'm going to hear a pitch for a beer or something, you know?
Yeah, it would be funny if it isn't so serious. But
mm-hmm. Yes.
He was just an amazing guy. He was an Olympic athlete, a revolutionary stuntman, a Hollywood stuntman.
Good-looking guy, right?
A very, very good-looking, debonair, a fine speaker. He was a hero in World War II. He was one of the original Jedburghs. They were our first special forces, they were jumped into occupied Europe and helped the Maquis beat the Germans out of there. And he's an Argentine by birth, but his father was a Cuban diplomat, and his allegiance was to Cuba. And after the war, he and Douglas Bezzotto were good friends. He had actually saved Bezzotto's life back in the 30s, and they had known each other. They were both Jedburghs together. And after the war, he said, I'm going to dedicate my life to freeing Cuba from U.S. exploitation, and which, of course, had been happening since the Spanish American War, and that's not a political thing. That's just the way this is what the diaries are reporting.
Right.
And Bezzotto said he'd help him. And so, they secretly, Bezzotto would help him. Bezzotto was a Cold War clandestine, right in the core of the spy works at the time of the killing. So he's a very credible source. And, he helped him, giving him, feeding him, assassins and so on. And that's what the book is about. It's a mystery story, really, about first about Dussac and this amazing life. And second of all, about these secret diaries that say that he was the one who conceived this.
Well, how does Dussac, come into the nexus of JFK? Because this is all pre-JFK, pre-presidential years. But this is, but somehow JFK aligns himself to become antithetical to Dussac's philosophy.
Well, that JFK, his administration tried many times to kill Castro.
Exactly.
And this was the straw that broke the camel's back, because Dussac had been, as I said, wanting to free Cuba, but he didn't want to do anything against Eisenhower. He thought Eisenhower would be too beloved. But when all of these plots to kill Castro occurred, he said, that's it. An eye for an eye. We can kill you now. And Dussac, in the diaries, he picked Castro. They have a very mysterious relationship. But as a young man, he picked Castro as the man who might help us here, and then aided Castro as that grew. And then when those attempts to kill Castro continued, and of course the Bay of Pigs and so on, he said, now we can kill you.
Mm-hmm. So he comes up with the idea of killing Kennedy, but, Robert, in your research, do you not see that there had to be some inside work within the United States? I mean, he had to get people, aligned within the government, because I keep looking at this and the assassination of John F. Kennedy and saying, look, there had to be too many too many ducks in a row here that included people within the government.
Well, without question, you are correct. And in the book, the assassins who he assembles, several are CIA, rogue CIA, and there is a nebulous overseer, and I don't know who that is in these diaries, but they, for instance, wanted Oswald. You know Oswald... went to Mexico and through the Cubans and so on, and they wanted him there. Dussac did not want him. He didn't trust him, but he had to use him. He was made to use him. And the shooters, there are five shooters that the diaries that Dussac used, and two or three of them were CIA. So absolutely, Dussac, the mystery here is Dussac worked for the FBI. He worked for the CIA.
But he was a double or triple agent, and that's what is developed in the book. That was the thing that nobody knew. For instance, on the Bay of Pigs, he was asked to involve himself in that from the CIA standpoint, but he was actually feeding this material to Castro.
Cuba,
that's why
yeah.
Castro did so well. He knew about it before it happened.
And the government never understood that there was a mole?
No, listen, there are lots of moles. You know, the Cuban intelligence is one of the finest. They really, Dussac was not the only one. Many pieces of this story have been coming out lately. But the CIA, you know, it's a big organization. It gets politicized. Some are good, some are bad. It was just too big to be so concentratingly held on to, and it had lots of moles, and they, you know, they had been infiltrated.
Well, there's something about when you have secret information, what's the first inclination that you have with secret information? You know, you want to share it. You want to say, hey, look, I'm privy. I got this information. It's almost anti-human to hold close to this secret information, isn't it?
Well, you know, the clandestine like Posada or Dussac, they were, you know, their whole lives are secrecy. And that's the key. They, you know, they're tortured. They're not going to talk. That's a very, very good spy. That's how you do it. And so these diaries record the story of how the two of them became friends, how Dussac's passion was to free Cuba, how Dussac enlisted Posada, and he didn't want to do it. But Dussac had saved his life. And then all of this is secret. And Posada, who works in Europe and goes into the Soviet Union and so on for the CIA, he's secretly helping Dussac all this time. No, they keep these things secret. But, you know, they're going to come out and secret diaries from two men who are dead now. That's the way it's going to come out.
Well, you know, I'm also curious to, you know, as you say, Dussac is a smart guy. He's figuring, okay, I've got Oswald to play with. I've got CIA operatives that will side with me. And also, oh, yeah, I've got the mafia, not to mention labor, who is really upset with the Kennedys for all that they did in getting, you know, getting him elected. And then next thing you know is Robert Kennedy goes after them. So you've got all these players that, you know, they have skin in this game here, right?
You're absolutely right. And everyone you mentioned is in the book and are part of the play, the plot.
Yes.
In various ways.
Well, you say a play. This could be a play. I mean, you know, it's a wonder, you know, as much as we've carried this, you know, this whole, you know, Kennedy assassination that we still don't know. It's no wonder people think that the moon landing was all fabricated, and your experience in Hollywood and making movies can appreciate people's consideration of that, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's great. Well, congratulations on the book. It's linked in at our website and available at all the usual places, right?
Yes, absolutely. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore.
Well, there it is. Great read. Target JFK, The Spy Who Killed Kennedy. Robert Wilcox. I'm Bill Martinez live.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Thank you.
My name is Lee and I'm 41. I've been using One World Wave for 2.5 years now. I suffered a bulged L4 and L5 disc from a car accident 3 years ago, and since that time I've been unable to walk long distances, do any minor lifting, or just normal activities with my children without having severe back pain. Since I've started using One World Way, I've been able to walk more, engage in activities with my children, and have less lower back pain. One World Way has helped me regain back my strength, confidence, and have a healthier life. I've noticed a weight loss of about 20 pounds, my A1C dropped 2 points, and I have more energy now. One World Way has helped me regain back my life.
The results for clients on One World Way have surpassed the results for most any other supplements, as well as all other whey protein powders. One World Way is non-denatured and frequency encoded. We believe the frequency encoding increases your body's production of glutathione and energy production. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Propu.